Do you ever come to church and feel like your evening looked just like that? We all come together and we greet each other, say hi, 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 shake each other's hands, and then we say a few words, and then everybody leaves and says bye, bye, shake a few hands, see you next week. But no real connection was made a lot of times, it seems like, you know. But it seems like in that context right there, at the end, what did they say at the end? He said, we're not doctors. They were able to greet each other, say hi, hi, bye, bye, but in the end, they were able to get away with a lie. They just said, hey, we're doctors and we fit right in with you guys. But since they didn't make a real connection, they couldn't really, there was no checks and balances in terms of presenting yourself as who you were. You know, the church needs to be different than that, though. We're not just to get together and say hi, say a few words and say bye and leave. We ought to be a people who gathers together not just to go through the motions, but to encourage each other in very real ways, right? Based on the truth of God's word, and not based on a lie like we just saw. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, we're going to finish up this book tonight. Colossians chapter 4. Starting in verse 7, Paul writes, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. They will inform you about the whole situation here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas, Barnabas's cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nympha and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we read such a text as this, that has a lot of names and a lot of places that we often aren't familiar with, that we would understand what Paul is trying to say to them and therefore to us. I pray that as we consider this passage tonight, that you would speak to us, impress its truth upon our hearts so that we might live according to it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, many passages in the Bible, many books of the New Testament end just like this, right? With a list of people, a list of places, a list of greetings that Paul says to give to each other. Maybe some final instructions, but oftentimes we read this kind of thing and we don't really know what to do with it. We could spend a lesson on each one of these people. We could look at how in the Bible they're mentioned in different places. Several of these people are mentioned at the end of several of Paul's letters. For example, Onesimus was bringing the letter here, but he's also referred to in Philemon, right? And we could do a character study on each one of these people. But such a study really would be outside of the focus of what Paul's really talking about in this passage. I think it would be interesting to do those things, and those things are necessary and help us to understand what's going on with different characters in the Bible. But for the purpose of tonight, though, I'd rather stick with what Paul is saying in this passage rather than getting on sidetracks and side rabbits about all these other people. For the purpose of tonight, I'd like to focus on not each of these people individually, but as a whole. What can we learn from this passage? And just make a few observations that I think Paul wanted us to have in mind. First observation we should note is that Paul never actually met the church of the Colossians. So when he's writing this, he's writing about people that he might have in common with the Colossians. He did, even though he didn't know the Colossians, he knew some of the same people that they knew. And he served alongside of some of the same people that they served alongside of. So Paul did all this name dropping, I think, for a couple of reasons. One, I think he wanted to establish a personal connection with the Colossians. They didn't know Paul personally, but since they knew some of the same people, Paul could say, hey, you know your friend Epaphras? I know him too. We work together. He's one of your number. He's from that city, from that area. Even though I don't know you, we have a connection there. It's kind of like when you meet somebody that you've never met. Sometimes you talk about each other's family history. You say, oh, I know your grandpa. Or, yeah, I met your cousin. You have a unique last name. I've heard that before. I must know you somehow. It's kind of the same kind of thing. You establish that personal connection, even if you've never known each other. And if you can establish that with somebody, then there's a familiarity there. Even if you've never met, you can say, well, it's like our families have been friends for years. You know, I think that's kind of what Paul's trying to do here. But I think that's a secondary purpose. I think the primary thing he wants to do in this passage is to establish his own authority and credibility among them. He's saying, hey, you don't know me at all, but these people know me and they can testify about me. They know that I'm an apostle. They know how hard I work for the churches. I think that those are his two primary purposes for this and these types of passages. I think another observation we can make, though, is that throughout all of this passage, when he's saying greetings and giving greetings to these people and through these people and to other people through the church of the Colossians, that he never actually just says greetings. He never actually just says hi or goodbye like the people in that video. Each greeting that he gave, if you go throughout this passage, it always carried with it some kind of instruction, some kind of encouragement, some kind of information. Look at verses 12 and 13. He says, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings. And here comes the information. He's always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. See, Paul could have just said, Epaphras says hi, but he didn't leave it at that. He said, this guy's praying for you earnestly, and I can testify for this guy that he's the real deal. He's working hard for you guys. He's a good missionary. Whenever you think about him in your prayers, pray for him in the ministry. It wasn't just a greeting. It was a greeting with instruction, encouragement, and some information. Look down at verse 16 as well. Starting in verse 15, rather. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. See, he said, greet that church over there, but don't just greet them. Make sure you get the letter from them and that you give them this letter as well. Because it's important that we all have the Word of God. It's important that we all are reading the same things, and this is inspired. There's a question that comes up with verse 16. What happened to that letter from Laodicea? If Paul thought that that letter was so important, why isn't it in the New Testament? Well, I want to handle that in two different ways. One, Paul, of course, wrote other letters that didn't make it into the New Testament. We have to really wonder, were those writings important for us as believers today? They may have been inspired by God. I think most of what Paul wrote was very beneficial to the churches. But in terms of needing them today, that's a completely different issue. That letter may have addressed things that were very specific to first century days. Of course, there's another issue altogether, that maybe that wasn't even a letter written to Laodicea. Paul very simply could have been saying, the letter that they have, make sure you get that letter and read it. Paul may have heard from one source or another that the Laodiceans had obtained another letter that Paul wrote, maybe the letter to the Ephesians. And Paul was just saying, make sure that all those letters that I've been sending out get circulated among the churches. I think either one of those two things, it's good to keep in mind that the Word of God, what we have today, is exactly what God wants us to have today. And if that letter was from Paul to the Laodiceans, then if that was meant to be preserved as God's word, then we would have it in God's word. We should have no doubt in my mind that God's word, in our minds, that God's word is exactly what God wants us wants it to be for us today. Now, this idea that Paul never actually just sent a greeting, but always had some kind of instruction to come with it. There's one exception to that in this passage, and it's found in verse 14. He wrote, "Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas." There's no other instructions there regarding those two people. Every other person has an instruction assigned with it, or an encouragement, or some kind of information. Right here it just says, "Luke sends you his greetings, and also Demas." It's possible that Luke was unknown to the Colossians, and therefore that bit about him being the beloved physician, that was some information, but doesn't seem to really give them any instruction with it. I think possibly the very mention of their names, though, would carry with them certain ideas. See, Luke was a Greek, and Paul often spoke of him very fondly. He says he's beloved in this passage here. The Colossian church was made up of mostly Greeks and Jews. It was a mixed church. There was both represented in that church. And Paul wanted to relate to them, again going back to his personal credibility among them, showing that he was friends with Greeks as well. In fact, not only was he friends with them, but Luke was such a close companion to Paul that everywhere Paul went, Luke was with him. He was his own personal beloved physician. So that might carry that idea with Luke. But what about Demas? It just says, "and also Demas." Not long after the Colossians received this letter, maybe a matter of just 2 or 3 years, Demas actually would abandon Paul. Flip over to 2 Timothy with me real quick. Just a couple books over, 3 books over to the right in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 10. Again, in one of his concluding sections of his books, starting in verse 9, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Make every effort to come to see me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." And that's the only two places in all the Bible that we find Demas mentioned. One, in Colossians, where he's saying, Demas sends you his greetings. And then the other, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, where he says, "Demas abandoned me." I think that when Paul was telling the Colossians that Demas sends his greetings, I think he had an inkling. He had a strong idea that Demas was going to be leaving him pretty soon. And he wanted preserved in God's word this idea that there's people among us today in our churches that we fellowship with, that we greet, and they send greetings, and they look just like us in our churches. But some of them are going to leave us. Some of them are going to be shown to not be of us because they've gone from us. And Paul's saying, this person sends you his greetings. And that's an encouragement to us that if we ever send our greetings to people, that we should be strong in the Lord. We should not just do it out of repetition as we come to our churches, greeting each other and shaking each other's hands, but we should be fellowshipping in such a way as to encourage each other, saying, don't leave the faith. Don't abandon the gospel. Happens more and more in our churches that people leave and never come back. So I think the very mention of both those two people, Luke and Demas, even though there was no specific instructions given in this passage, their very mention of their names carried with them an instruction, some encouragement. You know, Paul could have simply said hello for all these people. He could have just said, "They send you their greetings." But that would have ultimately had no purpose, served no purpose, besides establishing a connection, maybe. Paul wanted to make sure that he had a personal connection with the Colossians, but I think his ultimate purpose was to encourage them, to show them, and to give them information, to help them to stay faithful to the Lord. Contrast this with the clip that I showed earlier. Did their greeting encourage fellowship at all? They just said, doctor, 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 doctor. No, it didn't encourage fellowship. Did it allow them to encourage each other at all? Did it give them any instructions whatsoever? No. In our church, we need to make sure that our gatherings together are more than just greeting each other, saying hi. More than just saying a few words about how your week went. But we need to establish real connections based on God's word. Have real fellowship of encouraging each other in the Lord. Giving each other real instructions in the Lord. And that's just not the pastor's job. When you get together, say, I've been praying for you. How can I pray for you more? Say, I've been thinking about this verse. I was wondering to get some input from you. Because I've heard you teach on this before. How can you give me some insight in God's word? These are the kinds of conversations we should be having with each other. It's not just the pastor's job to teach. It's everybody's job to encourage and teach each other God's word. One more observation about this passage is that Paul had a bond with the Colossians because of their shared faith in Jesus Christ. Even though he had never met them before, he had heard about their faith. I'm going to take us all the way back to the very beginning of Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 one more time. Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 3, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints." You know, Paul had never met these people, but as soon as he heard about their faith, he started praying for them. As soon as he heard that there were some believers in another part of the world, he started praying for them. How much more should we, because we know of the faith of our brothers and sisters in this room, pray for each other daily, struggling to God in our prayers and saying, God, encourage their faith. Teach them and disciple them. Use me to disciple them. It was a very real thing for Paul, even though he had never met them physically, that there were believers in the world that he shared a common faith with. Again, I keep on going back to this video, but contrast that with the clip from the movie. What did the character Dan Aykroyd say at the end? We're not doctors. In real fellowship, that can never happen. When you get together as a body of believers and have genuine fellowship in which you ask these kinds of questions and you pray for each other, you can't fool people and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Because you're involved in each other's lives. And it's going to be shown what somebody's faith truly is. Serving the same God, we have the same purpose in life, the same attitudes about life. From time to time, I get an email from a Christian in another part of the world. Sometimes I don't know how they got my email address. They just happened to come to me somehow. But oftentimes it's usually through a website that I made or something, because I made quite a few. And they'll say something like, hey, I really appreciate that site you made or the article you wrote. And they'll just encourage me to keep on doing that kind of thing, keep on sharing my faith in that way and outside the internet as well. And though we've never met, we share our common faith. I've never seen their faces. And though we've never met, we can encourage each other in the faith to remain strong in the Lord. And though we've never met, we serve the same God and therefore have the same outlook, the same attitudes, the same purpose in life. Whenever I go to a Christian conference, I get to know the people that I sit next to. A lot of times I go to these kinds of things and I'm the only person I know going into it. But then I meet people. We share each other's email addresses. We encourage each other just for the few moments that we're sitting next to each other. We share what the Lord's doing in our lives. We ask what God's been teaching them. We ask how God's been using their ministries, and we can encourage each other, just sitting by each other for 10 minutes before the conference and 10 minutes afterwards. It's no small thing to talk with a fellow believer, even if you've never met before. When you meet somebody, you find out that they're a Christian. There's an immediate bond there. We're the family of God. We're not strangers. We're one family. Take those opportunities and don't pass them by. Share what the Lord is doing in your life. Share what the Lord's doing in your church. Ask them what their church is doing, what the Lord's doing in their church. Ask them what God is teaching them, because we're one family. And Paul's never met the Colossians, and I don't know if he ever did after this point. But he shared a faith with them. We all in this room share a faith, not just with each other, but every other church that declares Christ as Lord. And that's an amazing thing. One family of God working with one purpose, to glorify God in this world.